one wife here with us, one son, one daughter, one God, one Lord, four grandchildren. Okay, let us welcome him with big hands.
Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Good morning and buen dias. The three languages I have spoken in my greeting reflects the based on the what is known as Lord's Prayer. And I'd like to share with you and with the 3 points. Among what is known as Lord's Prayer, and the first phrase drew my attention more than anything else, and which is the Our Father who art in heaven from classical version. And Our Father in Heaven from modern English version. And however, every time I call my God as my Father in Heaven, I feel confidence and somehow inspiration about who I am and what is my ID. You're writing right now? Wow, okay, wow, it's marvelous. I didn't know that. Okay. I think he's better than me, right? So I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Okay, every time I call my God, Father in Heaven, I repeat it again, right? I feel confidence and inspiration about who I am, what is my ID. At least, under the call of our Father in Heaven, I'm not a Korean, nor I'm not an international mission director, or I'm not a Korean. I just stand in the presence of God just as his child, child of God. This is sufficient. This is enough. Nothing else but being a child of God is nothing but decoration of our outer part. So being a child before Father is a real. It's true. Okay, tell me, what is the most truthful in the world? I think the Son before the Father is the most truthful, or creature before the Creator is the most truthful. What is added is not the truth, just the declaration. When is your convenient time, the most convenient time for you? It is relationship in which we face one another with no makeup face. Makeup face is not mine. It's not real. I'm a fake on my makeup face. So, the life relations between the Father and Son, and from the New Old Testament to the New Testament when Jesus was born, and they appear in the Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3, the Father and the Son. Son was the radiance of his glory. And the exact representation of his being. The Son expressed his Father. Creature radiate its creators. This is real. So I like to bring you in the presence of God this morning, as you are, we are children of God, or I am child of God. This is real. Do you know what is the first question that our God made in the Garden of Eden to human race? Adam means representing human race, they say. What is the first question? Where are you? Okay, where are you? So what happens? The Adam took the tree of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what is first things they realized after having eaten that the fruit? What is that? What is the first things they realized? They found themselves naked. They were so embarrassed being naked before the Lord. So, what did they do? They weave fig leaves into clothes. They made coverings for themselves. Is that all? No. They hid themselves among the big trees. This reflects the human behavior to trying to put at something in order to cover up their nakedness through double and triple coverings. This is human beings. They're afraid of being naked in front of God because of their sins and fall. That's a problem. We try, as much as possible, we try to meet our neighbors with makeup. Not as I am. That's my point. This is tragedy. So, the people try to cover their shame with money. They try to cover up their figures with their fame or reputation. They try to cover up their nakedness with success, money, and education, something big whatsoever. They try to hide with those things. So if you add the money to your nakedness, your neighbor calls you, oh, you are a rich man. If you add the lot of science and the great deal of the knowledge to your nakedness, the people call you your doctor. If you try to add some business and the company or business entity or company to your nakedness, somebody calls you your president or business owner, you might say CEO. That's what we are right now, with the declaration, our part. There's no real being. We try to show what I made up. That's not the real. What is real? Is a being child before the Father. It doesn't matter anything. I give you a quick story and about my son. My son, when my son was in graduate school, he met a girl who ended up becoming his wife and my daughter-in-law, and her name is Sarah. When they are dating each other, my son visited Sarah's house to introduce himself to his to her family. And her parents is in Cambodia as missionary, and in time, her grandparents live in somewhere in California. And my son, grandfather was in nursing home because of his stroke. And so my son went to the nursing home to introduce himself to him, and he was bedridden in the nursing home and being taken care of by nurses all days. And Sarah told her grandfather, "Grandpa, I brought my boyfriend to have him greet you." At the moment, Grandpa has been sleeping or has been keeping closing his eyes, or maybe thinking about his own life. And hearing the grandchild, the voice, and open his eyes and turn his head to the side, eventually ask, "What do you do?" My son responded with an air of pride, "I'm getting my PhD, sir." Then in response, the grandfather immediately said, "It's all useless." Then close his eyes again. No more conversation going on. 불 한 잔만, 한 잔만. 불 한 잔만. Okay, give me a cup of water. No more said. And all he uttered from his mouth, just two sentences, "What do you do?" Is all useless. My son told me this story during my family dinner. And I told my son, "Son, that's exactly summary of his life. What do you do? It's all useless. That's summary of his life." In fact, he was 82 years old, and he immigrated to the United States in the 1960s. During that time, it was unusual for Korean to study in the United States, let alone receive the PhD there. Later, he became the professor at UCLA, which is a world well-known university, and later became professor at the police academy until he retired. When he was healthy, he was very proud of himself. Everybody spoke him well, and among the Korean Americans, he was very famous, well known. He wrote a column in the newspaper. Everyone knew him. Now, when he became ill, he likely felt that there is no little meaning in life. that it is useless. What good is a doctoral degree or a professor or fame when he was in bedridden and at the mercy of nurses all days? It's nothing. The story reminds me of the book of Ecclesiastes. After having experienced all kinds of pleasures and success and highest position, and you know him, he's King Solomon, confessed that everything is meaningless, pointless, utterly pointless, vanity. What does man gain from his own labors at which the man toil under the sun? It's nothing, right? So what we have as real being is just being his child. Amen? Amen. Say after me, I am
his child.
We are his children. This is super. This is all. Everything will be gone. Okay, everything will be gone. The second point I want to share with you based on the Our Father in Heaven. Just today, I like to deal with just one phrase, Our Father in Heaven. Now, okay, take a note of plural form of the possessive case, which is our father. Not singular form, my father. With this confirmation and understanding, what comes in your mind as we call God as our father? We are a family of one father. Amen? Amen? We are family of one father. This is real. This is real. Unchangeable. We are family of one father. Now, my question is, how we are related? How we are related? Look at the next person. Look at the next person. You are my brother. You are my sister. Can you say that way? Okay, so, please. Yes, true. Yes, true. Actually, that's the meaning of the church. That is what means by congregation, our brothers and sisters. So we are born of the one family as brothers and sisters. And with this statement, I was reminded of one scripture verse when the letter of the Paul to the Ephesus. And Paul wrote to them, as you know well, the church of the Ephesus was made of multinational or multi-ethnic people, Jews and the Asians, Greek and Romans, and various people was made up. And the Paul emphasized two words, remember, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 followings. The remember. Remember who you were in the past. Remember who you are right now. There's contrast. It's marvelous. So remember who you are, who you were, and you're a Gentile by birth. Okay? We cannot erase my citizenship, my nationality, because I was born only decided by only birth. You're born in the Philippines, you're Filipinos. I was born in in Korea, I'm a Korean, right? No one can change this fact. However, the Paul wrote to them, you are Gentile by birth. You are uncircumcised by religious standard. So it doesn't matter religion. And you are separate from Christ. You were excluded in the citizenship in Israel. And you're foreigners to the covenants of the promise. That means you are excluded from the covenants of the promise. You are not the Jewish. You are not the people of the promise. And you, in Christ Jesus, you, once so far away, has been near through the blood of Jesus Christ. We transferred to a different world. Make sure that who we are right now, yes, we are different before. However, right now, we are one in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ washed my sin through the blood of his blood. Amen? Amen. It says that like this, that the Christ is our peace. Christ himself, our peace. We have heard that the peace and reconciliation between North and South, the day yesterday before, and the world applauded this wonderful scene of the peace. So I enjoyed the whole days. Actually, I have a tear in my ears to see those reconciliation. However, we bring the good news, we bring the only unique news, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at himself is our peace, because he's the one who has made the two one and destroying the barrier and dividing wall of hostility. That's what it was, hostility. We have many hostility in the world nowadays. The phenomenon of the Korean hating in Japan, and discrimination against the Jew in Germany, the war between the Israel and Palestine, build a war between the Mexico and United States. There's so many dividing walls of hostility. However, in this darkness, in this hostility, we try to bring our Lord Jesus to them, because we are brothers and sisters in one family. Now, you're no longer foreigners or aliens. We are fellow citizens with the God's people, the member of the God's household. That's what Paul told to the Ephesian church. Another verse is that the person Paul wrote to the Colossian church, chapter 3, verses 10, the following verses. If we look at, we don't have enough time to open this Bible, however, please be with me. And this is wonderful. And I try to quote in today English version. you have become new person. You are continually being renewed in knowledge to be like his creator. We are you and our different, the new person, right? New person. Right. Not the natural man, but the spiritual man, new person who belongs to the heaven. Then, wherever this happens, there's no Jews and Greek. It doesn't matter our nationality, whether you are Filipino, whether you are Vietnamese, whether you are North American, whether you are Korean, it doesn't matter. There's no Jew and Greek. There's no circumcised and uncircumcised. It doesn't matter any religious practice, religious tradition. Each ethnic or ethnic race has their own religious tradition. We respect them. But only in Christ Jesus, we confirm that we are brothers and sisters. Amen? And thirdly, uncivilized or civilized, barbarian or civilized, it doesn't matter. You are educated or not, it doesn't matter. Okay? And slave or free. Slave, there is no slave or free. You know, if you are in Christ Jesus, what you have or what you not have, what, either you are employers or employees, it doesn't matter. What matter is we are in Christ Jesus. That's what matters. In line with this, I found a wonderful scripture verses from the Mosaic command. And Exodus chapter chapter 22 following several chapters, the mention about three categories for three groups of people. One is strangers. Okay, whatever you call strangers or sojourners or pilgrims whatsoever. Okay, anyway, strangers. And second is widows. And third, orphan. These three groups was considered as socially marginalized and socially underprivileged. God has a heart for them more than anyone else. It says that to the Israelite, don't mistreat aliens. Don't oppress them, because you are in Egypt, you are slave, you are strangers too. And following verses, don't take advantage of widows and orphans. If you do, they will cry out to me, and I will hear their cry. Then I will hear their cry. Then I'm angry against you. Or literally express, my anger will be aroused against you. If you mistreat the foreign residents, if you mistreat orphans and widows, then appalling verses comes. It makes me shock. I will kill you with my sword. Then your wife will be widow. Your children will be fatherless. This is really appalling, terrifying, this, the revenge. So we must be warned. Those discrimination against the minor, against the weak. It's marvelous to see, and the Paul mentioned after mentioning there's no Greek and Jews, there's no the circumcised and uncircumcised. Then after that, I found a wonderful verse. And from we found this verse from the Galatians. You are chosen people and holy and dearly loved. Therefore, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, patience. It's how we these words correlated. These words are correlated. It's same verses. The God in the Old Testament and the God in the New Testament is same. So once we confirm that we are brothers and sisters, what we have to do? We love one another. We love one another. The compassion from the Lord flows through our congregation. Amen? Sorry, I made mistakes. You know, what was second question God made toward the human beings after Garden of Eden? And the God told Cain, "Where are you, Abel? Where are you, brother?" The second question God made in the Bible. Then, what was the answer from the Cain who killed his brother? What's the answer? Am I your brother's keeper? Okay? Say after me, am I your brother's keeper? But the Bible omitted the answer of the God, omitted. However, it's in line with this verse, the question and the conversation between God and Cain. Then, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Say after me, yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Am I brother's keeper? Yes, you are. So omit it. However, we are responsible for taking care of one another. Okay? The community. Community in Latin, made of two words. One is com. Com means together. Munus means gifts. Mean to say, my presence itself must be a gift to someone else. I'm here because of you. Because of you, I'm here. Amen? So that's community. So we love one another. We show his compassion. This is the second point. Third point that I like to share with you. Now, I have a question to you. Where is God? Where is God? In heaven? Yeah, in heaven. So, however, we know that God is everywhere, right? Omnipresent. God is everywhere. So, how can it be consistent with the world that God is everywhere? God in heaven, right? God in heaven. So how we, make a harmony with this, what we knowledge and the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Actually, I believe that in my understanding, this is not a matter of the space or location. This matter of the life attitude or life quality. That's what the Jesus meant by Father in heaven. The being in heaven is contrast to being on the ground. There are many divisions and boundaries, bias and prejudice and hatred on the ground. But if you go up in the sky, our boundaries become faint. The more you go up the sky, the less our boundaries become. Amen? So if we stay, if we dwell on earth, we always, you know, the pinpoint what is wrong, what is good to our neighbor. However, God wants us to be in heaven where our Father lives. So don't get me wrong, this is not a matter of the location and space. So we must live where our Father lives. That's the place, place is our dwelling place as a Christian, as believers. Have you ever heard the overview effect? This terminology made by astronaut. The astronaut, if they go up, ascended in the highest in the space, they see things differently. Their visibility is different from what we see, because they are in heaven. Okay, now I'm giving you now a metaphor. I'm giving you a metaphor, don't take the literally, okay? So if we go up to the point where our Father lives, then everything is like a global community. There is no Korea, there is no Philippines, there is no Vietnam, there is no America. Just see as a Father see, that we see as one, as global community. That's what I mean by Father in heaven. I think this is profound meaning. I'm so moved with this message with you this morning. Aren't you? Okay, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Everyone looks one in the sight of God. There's no black. There's no white. There's no underprivileged. There's no privilege. We are one in Christ Jesus. The lastly, I give you one example. You know how important the water is, okay? Water. Without water, all things will die, okay? The water is very essential for survival. The weeks ago, I've been to South America, and because our fellow workers died suddenly, and on arriving Cape Town, I was surprised. The Cape Town, any one of you been there? Cape Town was very developed, advanced country, well organized. It's nice, like a European country. Nevertheless, on arriving there, there is no water at public service area, even airport. Imagine, just only hand sanitizer there. No water. The Korean South American hosted me for the 1 week. And their house is nice and two-story building and spacious enough. And I went to the toilet, makes me shocked. it was written that don't flush with a toilet stool with the number one. You know number one? Yeah, but number two. Look good, look too good, however, not so good to live. Why? Because no water. The water symbolized the river of the water of the life, which is the living spring of the Jesus Christ. Okay? Without Jesus Christ, no one can survive. No the living things can live. In the similar way, physically, without water, how many days can you survive? No way. This I experienced worse situation in South America because of drought. And now I bring you to the one of the good illustration how the water is very important, and it come from Ezekiel chapter 47, and the whole story. And one day angel of God brought Ezekiel to see the vision, and the water strange enough, water came from the threshold entrance of the sanctuary. It didn't seem to be a great deal first time. However, more and more water came out. Then enough to swim, or nobody could cross the water. So where water flows, it brings life. So naturally, there are living things. There are a lot of trees and both sides of the river, and some of the fish in the sea, in the river, and the trees bearing the 12 crops of the fruit, and the yielding is fruit every month, not in season, every month. And in fact, food, the fruit served as a food. The leaves of the trees served as a healing for all nations. So imagine, if we mobilize our imagination, it's really incredible, incredible. This word, incredible. And there must be a fertile land. You know, fertile land. The land must be rich, right? So that's the land God wants His people to divide it and reside there. So angel of God told Ezekiel, this is the boundary by which you are divided, distribute the land for portions among 12 tribes of Israel. So how wonderful, how excited the people of Israel to occupy those fertile land. Okay, imagine fertile land. That's wonderful. This is not the end. The last part of the Ezekiel's chapter 47 says, in whatever tribes the foreign residents settled, this land must be divided for inheritance for among the foreign residents. You're not surprised. But considering the Israeli exclusiveness, you know, this is really unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Not only your 12 tribe, but also the foreign residents who settled down among you as native-born Israelites. I didn't hear any amen. Do I make sense? There's And I read and read this verse as a missionary. Wow, the leaves for healing for all nations, not only Israel. And the land is not for only Israel, but also for the foreign residents that can occupy. This is the land that God has given us. This is the God's vision. This is the heart of God's mind. Okay? This is the heart of God's mind. But we human being, I'm a Korean, I'm so much, you know, the one-sided and biased, and sometimes consciously, unconsciously, many times I think I'm not be aware of it. I mistreat, I oppress, I ignore them, have taken advantage of those socially disadvantaged. However, through God's sight and everyone, we can love one another. I love Filipino, I love Bangladesh, I love the Americano, I love, you know, and any other Africano, I love them because we are children of God. We are born in the family of one Father, and we live in heaven, not on earth. So as we see the people, as our Father sees. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all the riches and wealth that we found in the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we do thank you for saving us through the blood of Jesus Christ and making us your children and bringing us together to become a family under one Father, Lord. Lord, we are grateful that you made us cities in heaven so that we may could love the one another. We want to the same vision that you have. Help us practice in one daily walk with you. May this English service congregation of the Antioch Church grow in the fullness of Christ. As a result, Lord, we can reach out the whole world in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.